With schools back in session, seasonal businesses find themselves short on staff. From APM in Washington, I'm Amy Scott, in for David Brancaccio. Labor Day used to mark the unofficial end of summer, but many schools now start before the holiday, especially this year, as Labor Day falls relatively late in the calendar. That means a shorter summer work season for students with summer jobs and for the businesses that hire them. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
Umbrellas and towels still cover much of the shore in Atlantic City, New Jersey, where Steve Downey heads the beach patrol.
Another crowded day down in Margaritaville.
Literally from his office, he can see a beach bar called Margaritaville on the boardwalk. Less crowded are the lifeguard stands. Downey's staff peaked this summer at 120, but starting in early August...
Oh, every day we'll lose one or two more. But right now we're looking at about anywhere between 70 and 80.
As the summer staff goes back to school, Downey has to spread out the remaining guards further along the 7-mile beach. The shorter season might make it harder for younger workers to get summer jobs. Alicia Sasser-Modestino at Northeastern University says they now have lots of competition.
If you add on one or two more reasons, like school starting early or not being able to work past 9 o'clock at night, it just makes it a no-brainer for the employer to hire the young adult or the immigrant over the teenager.
Despite an improving economy, teen employment rates were essentially flat this summer compared with last year. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. The U.S. markets are closed on this Labor Day. In Asia, Shanghai shares closed down 2.5%. London's FT 100 index is up 0.5%. Schools that haven't already are opening up around the country this week. As the doors open, teachers in Minnesota, New York, and elsewhere are in contract negotiations, and health benefits are on the table. School districts are reluctant to pay the so-called Cadillac tax. It's a provision under the Affordable Care Act that penalizes health insurance plans considered too generous or expensive. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Just last week, a school district in Connecticut reached a new deal with workers, higher wages and higher health care costs. These sorts of school contracts may prove to be the first glimmer of an emerging trend in public and private sectors.
Most Americans are going to face higher deductibles and higher co-pays, but I would also argue that if they don't, we have consumption that we can't afford.
Northwestern's Limor Daphne says you can think of the Cadillac tax as a sort of forced diet, but for health spending. That's part of why the basic idea is so controversial. Nobody likes to be told no, especially when it means more spending for important medical care. Vanderbilt's Melinda Button says research shows more expensive health care means we buy less of it, but it's risky.
When people are faced with higher cost sharing, they use less care, but they're not great at ferreting out what is high value versus low value care.
Button says she hopes the Cadillac tax forces employers to push back on annual insurance premium increases and demand a better product. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York, has earned a reputation as being among the most diverse elite colleges in the country. The college got a $1 million award last spring for its success in recruiting and graduating low-income students. About a quarter of Vassar students receive federal Pell Grants, up from about 12% 8 years ago. This is no accident. It's the result of a concerted effort led by college president Catherine Cappy Hill.
There's some families that have actually done extremely well over the last 3 to 4 decades, and they're investing a lot in their children in preschool through kindergarten and 12th grade. And when they go on to college, they want certain things for their kids. So they're looking for schools that have lots of single rooms and great faculty and small classes, and our schools compete for them. And one of the ways that we compete for them is by supplying some of those things that they're looking for, and that pushes up our costs.
And colleges are also increasing financial aid. Is that sustainable?
So if you think about schools looking at their student body, and they've got some students whose families are doing extremely well and want a variety of great things, and then the middle and lower income families have actually done pretty poorly. And so while they'd love their kids to go to these kinds of schools, they've become more expensive because of the things that are driving up costs. Schools who are committed to continuing to attract a diverse student body then have to shell out more financial aid to make it possible for them to come.
I imagine there has been some tension as the campus has become more diverse. Have you had any pushback either from faculty or students themselves as they are arriving on this campus that has been traditionally mostly white and certainly wealthier?
I think one of the most difficult issues on a college campus or almost any institution is figuring out the allocation of resources. So by allocating resources to financial aid, that's meant that we've had to slow down a little bit on things like renovating buildings. And not everybody agrees with every decision that we've made, but I think there's great support for what we've done in terms of diversity of the student body. I think there also can be stresses amongst the students. If people are coming from different backgrounds, those differences can sometimes be uncomfortable, but again, I think they offer great learning opportunities.
Catherine, or Cappy Hill, is president of Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York. Thanks so much.
Great fun to be here.
You can check out more at marketplace.org. In Washington, I'm Amy Scott with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.